Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Rod Allen, Marlins broadcaster, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He is at Lone Depot Park. We see the Miami Marlins Radio Network sign behind him. Have you ever heard Lone Depot Park referred to as LD Park?
Never. All right. Who's dropping that over there? That's Solana?
That's Solana doing that.
No,
yeah.
No, never heard that one. And yeah. I don't know if that's going to stick either.
Are you? You're not going to adopt it for your broadcast.
No,
you're not going to call
you,
it the LD.
I'm with you, Hawk. I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm not going to roll with it.
Not going to work. Right. What is going on with this Marlins team? There is something special about this team. And when it first started to percolate in June, maybe you looked at it with, you know, a leery eye. Hey, it's just a hot streak. All of a sudden, we're at July 9th. They are winning at an incredible clip. They are looking good in every facet of the game. So what are we to take away from this roster? Is it this good that we're seeing?
I think you should take this team seriously. There's no doubt about that. I played for a Hall of Fame manager, Sparky Anderson, and he always said that when you got to July 4th, if you were in contention, you knew the kind of team that you had. They have a good team. It's a young team. It's an unproven team. But they beat some really good pitchers. They run the bases well. Sometimes they make mistakes, but they defend up the middle. They've got a really good up the middle with Marcy and Lopez and Otto. I mean, Otto and the kid that just came up. So they're doing a wonderful job up the middle. And I think that's part of what makes this team so successful. They got a young coaching staff. They work hard. They practice hard. And now it started to spill over into the clubhouse. These guys have a lot of confidence right now. Every day they come to the ballpark, they're going up against one of the best pitchers in the league tonight. And I guarantee you, in that clubhouse, they're thinking they're going to beat this guy.
And you jumped on with Stroman yesterday and talking about it. Like, does Joe Mack make that big of a difference? Like, it's one play. It's a catcher. He's back there behind the plate. Like, he's made that big of a difference on the team and in the clubhouse.
He really has. I don't know so much about the clubhouse because he's young, and he's one of those guys that you'll see him, but you won't hear him. I mean, he's very mature for his age, but he doesn't talk a lot. He's one of those guys that's very humble. He knows what his place is, and that's a wonderful place for a young rookie like Mack. But he's already thrown out 17 base stealers. That's the most that's in the majors. He's only been here for a hot minute. So there's a lot of guys that have done it longer, but he is so efficient. He's quiet behind the plate. He can call a game, which he doesn't have to do, but he has the ability to do that. His glove is very quiet, and the pitchers just love throwing to him. In the opposition, they will not run on him. He's kind of shutting down the running game. So he's very special, and when you start to look at teams that are built to win, you kind of start with that pitching staff and the catcher that's handling them, and he has all the attributes to be a really, really good catcher. I mean, we've had some good ones here in Real Muto. Charles Johnson was an outstanding catcher out of Miami. Of course, Pudge Rodriguez stopped over for 1 year, and he was tremendous. But this guy, I mean, they're starting to mention his name in the same breath as those gentlemen.
Are the Marlins ahead of schedule? When you think in totality of what the Peter Bendix era was supposed to look like, he's hired, I think it was 2023, so we're in the third season now of the Bendix era. Would you say that they're ahead of schedule, or is this what we should have been expecting maybe from this ball club at this point, where last year the way it ended was great, there was a ton of momentum coming into this year, but now it looks like, you know, they've kind of jumped into this category where they're one of the best teams in baseball. And truthfully, I wasn't expecting that at all this season in the Bendix era.
Well, Peter Bendix will tell and different. He feels like he had a team that will compete this year. What he has done in the 3 years that he has been here is nothing short of spectacular. I mean, first he tore the entire thing down. He brought in some players from other teams, players that were good players but weren't getting an opportunity to flourish where they were playing at. He brought all these hot shot prospects here. He brought in a new coaching staff. Gabe Kapler has been tremendous behind the scenes, but he's really not behind the scenes. They've got some really bright men here. And then they put the right people in the right place, and you create a culture for these guys to get better. And they're getting better. I mean, you look at their facilities in Jupiter, and you look at their facilities here at this ballpark. I mean, if you're a player, there's no excuse for you not to get better when you have what these guys have at your disposal every single day. And they're continuing to find more and more players. It's not just these players in the big leagues. They've got some really good young kids in the minors, too, that we're going to see soon from some of these trades they made. But nothing short of spectacular what Peter Bendix has done. And you're starting to see other teams kind of do what he did at the trade deadline, kind of try to tear it down without a total rebuild and bring in a whole new fresh face. It's like a new organization.
And my son, I'm up here in Fort Myers right now at a perfect game tournament with my son. He plays baseball.
What position?
He's outfield. He can play first and third. He don't play in the middle, but first, third, and all the outfields. But my whole thing, and I just say, hit that damn ball, son. When they pitch that ball, if they throw a – hit that damn ball, is it – they've been hitting the ball for the Marlins. Are they hot right now, or do they have consistent hitters? Because I know Otto, I know X, they're going to hit their ball, but like now Stowers did his thing last year and he's coming on. Are they a good hitting team? Because I think overall, let me know if I'm wrong, I think hitting that damn ball is the main thing on a good team.
Well, it's hard to hit. It's never been harder to hit major league pitching than it is today. I mean, I think the major league average is right around 230. We've got two guys that are hitting 300 in Lopez and Xavier. You also have Hicks that has taken another step. You mentioned Stowers. These guys put the ball in play. They know how to put the ball in play. They're trouble for the opposition at the top of our lineup. And every now and then, the bottom of that lineup, whether it be a Casey or whether it be a Conine or whether it be a Heriberto who's just been going off, he really extends this lineup. He got some good players. I'm telling you, they've got a lot of guys that didn't really get an opportunity to play where they were before because they were playing behind really good players. But here they're not playing behind those players, and these guys are getting an opportunity, and some of them are running with it and taking advantage of it, like Hernandez and Otto Lopez.
Rod, is there a weakness? We were talking at the beginning of the show. I was listening to Brendan Tobin before us, and we were saying, like, they don't really seem to be showing a glaring weakness right now. A lot of times you can look at a club and say, if they got this corrected or if they address this, so what is the weakness right now with this ball club?
Well, I think they can use another bullpen piece. I mean, a really good one at the back end. I mean, that's what I'd be looking to do. I mean, I'm not Peter Bendix, and he's a lot smarter than I am, and this is way above my pay grade. But I'd be looking to add maybe a rotation piece because you just don't know what Meyer's going to do down the stretch. You don't know how much you're going to have to protect Yuri down the stretch. You know what you're going to get out of Sandy, but by and large, you got the other guys that have been mixing and matching in the rotation. So I may even gamble and go out there and try to find me a starter out there, that guy that has an expiring contract you don't have to pay a whole lot of money to, and you're not afraid to let him walk at the end of the year. And they probably could use a little bit of sock over at third base, some right-handed sock. So if they have those three guys walking through the door, man, in the next 3 weeks, I mean, I think this team is there to stay. I tell you this much, the teams that play against us and listening to their managers and their coaches, it's nothing but respect.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For this group now here, it's a different team. This is not the Marlins that have been here forever. This is a different kind of group. And Peter Bendix, man, he's a pro's pro. He knows how to run an organization. He reminds me a lot of David Dombrowski.
What about the lone zone? You like the lone zone?
No, not yet.
No?
I mean, stay with me. Have me on a couple times. I roll with you. You never know.
Don't roll with him. Don't.
I want to say it today because I had a chance to do it, man, for so long. And you guys, you know, we were talking the other day. You were talking about Yuri and the perfect game and different things like that. And I want to talk about Justin Verlander for a minute. I mean, I had a chance to watch just about every last one of this dude's starts from 2006 until 2018. What a beast. I mean, this guy was cut from a different cloth. I mean, all the Cy Youngs, the World Series championships, the no-hitters. Kate Upton. I mean, you can go a lot of different places with this dude, man. He was awfully special.
You buried the lead. Yeah, that's yeah, who man, I would have started
man. This
with.
Yeah. This dude, you know, and I had him when he was a baby, man, and he didn't like people, and people didn't really like him, man. He was a gangster on the mound, man. He would start at 92, 93. He'd get all the way up to 100 in that first inning if you made him, but if you didn't, he'd just sit around there 95, 96 until the ninth inning. I watched his first no-hitter against Milwaukee. The second to the last pitch he threw to J.J. Hardy was 102 miles an hour. He was 100 pitches in already. But that's different. 200 innings every single year. And I also saw Randy Johnson, so I saw some really, really good ones. But Justin Verlander, man, he should be a unanimous pick, and I'm glad he's going to the All-Star game. But to watch something like that for that many years, every fifth day, and you be the analyst to do that, it's just remarkable. Miggy was on that team too. So I mean, just and even one of your guy was on one of those teams. Brad Penny. You guys like Brad Penny?
We love Brad Penny.
Brad Penny was on one of those teams in 2011 at the Tigers.
Verlander, best pitcher you've ever seen?
Oh, it's between him and Randy Johnson. I mean, it really is. I saw Randy win 4 Cy Youngs in a row. I mean, I want 4 straight Cy Youngs in Arizona. Randy Johnson won. And the Diamondbacks were not really a great team. I mean, it was like an expansion team. But Verlander is probably the best right-hander that I've seen. I mean, there's been some good ones, and I know there's a lot of guys out there, and Clemens and all the special guys that had good careers. But backseat to nobody. I mean, he was a dude. I mean, his guy.
Hold on, I got to ask him something because he's talking about Detroit there for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm from Chicago originally, so I'm partial to deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
Detroit-style pizza, is that on top of your list? New York-style, Chicago-style?
I'm not really a Chicago-style or New York-style, but I like the thin crust. I'm not a real big, deep dish kind of guy, but I kind of like the thin crust. And if they got it at those facilities that have the all the meat and all that stuff, I'm trying to stay slim at my age and whatnot and work on my cholesterol and all those things, so I can't eat too much of that stuff.
Rod, you old talking about cholesterol, man. what about the Miz, that little young pitcher? Can he keep you can't throw 104 forever. Like, can he keep that up?
See, I'll give you an example of Justin Verlander and then today's pitchers. And even some of our pitchers fall into this category. Yuri, the first pitch that he's going to throw on Saturday is probably going to be 98 miles an hour. Verlander, he would be 91, 92 until you hit it. And then he would show you 95, 96, 97. These kids these days, I mean, Wade lead the dugout. They're all throwing 100 miles an hour. I don't know if Mizorowski can keep it up. I sure hope that he can keep it up. But I know that every time he pitches, everybody out there, all the analysts, they all talk about the possibility of him getting injured. And I don't like the way that they talk about that, but that's just the nature of our game when you have a guy that throws as hard as he does. But he is a wonderful, wonderful pitcher.
As long as we're talking pitching, we're up against a break here, and I know you got to get ready for a game tonight. I was outraged that Yuri Perez got pulled after 7 perfect innings. Your take, I mean, you played at the highest level. To me, the notion of stealing, and I get it. I totally understand why. The notion of stealing an opportunity to do something that almost no one does in history, yeah, I thought was a bad look. What was your take on it?
Well, it was a bad look. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The look didn't look good, but I probably would have given him one more inning and then gone from there. I do know exactly what this organization is about and how closely they watch their pitchers. And on times, they talk to their pitchers about the game plan beforehand. And I think that maybe was discussed that Yuri's going to be right around 90 when he got there. Clayton McCullough took him out of the game. But Clayton didn't feel good about that decision either. But at the same time, as a manager, as a coach, the last thing that you want is a pitcher to get hurt on your watch. You don't want it, and you just have to protect some of these guys from themselves. I mean, the last 3 days, though, there's been other no-hitters. You've seen the dude Jared Jones yesterday had a perfect game in Pittsburgh, but he just came off the injured list, so they shut him down. And then you had Cease. They were thinking about shutting him down, but he finally gave up a hit. But it's just a different game these days. Every now and then you'll get a guy that they'll give an opportunity to go for a no-hitter, but I would have allowed him to go back out there for at least the eighth inning and see how that would have went.
I mean, back in my day, Louis Tiant was throwing 350 pitches a game, Rod.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore. They don't make them like that. And he was throwing them from all different angles and everything, you know what I mean?
He was
fun to watch.
He was fun to watch.
El Tiante.
You ever seen his wind-up, Crowder, Louis Tiant?
I don't know who
you
got to
educate him, Hawk. You got to educate these young guys, man.
He said, you
know,
Rod.
Randy Johnson.
Rod said he's getting older and he's got to watch his cholesterol. So I'm 56. This is how I really recognize that I'm getting older. The other night, I ordered Flanagan's, and instead of getting French fries with my chicken Philly, I got coleslaw.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, as I got old, I like coleslaw. Do you like coleslaw?
I don't eat much of coleslaw, but I do like salads and different things like that. And I have changed my diet a little bit as I've gotten a little bit older. But I like it. It makes me feel better when I eat clean and different things like that. It just makes you feel good.
I'll tell you what. Add a little coleslaw to the diet. Your broadcast will never feel the same.
Hell with coleslaw, Rod. Don't let them do that to you.
Rod Allen.
Hey, real quick. At the perfect game, is there certain things, as I know how the game is, when you get to those perfect games, they look for the spin rate, they look for the arm speed, they look for the speed and all. Everything is measured. Everything is measured. So you're telling your son the right thing, man. Don't miss them fastballs. If you don't ever tell him nothing else, don't miss those fastballs, because if you can't hit the fastball, you'll never get here. You got to hit that fastball.
They give me a hard time, Rod, because I coach from the stands. On my daughter and
son. I tell
him,
you got to let the coach coach.
No.
You can't be the dad coaching from the stand, superseding what the actual coach.
No, but if you
going to
coach, get out in the dugout. If you want to coach.
There you go. Get in the dugout.
But, Rob, I know he's about to throw this outside curve.
And so you tell him what's
outside curve.
Oh, no, you can't.
I tell him what ball's coming.
You're going to get kicked out. Yeah. They're going to kick you.
You're going to get
kicked out.
You're going to be sitting at the Applebee's with me eating coleslaw.
You yell curveball, one of these kids, they're going to be listening to you. They're going to throw a fastball inside and smoke somebody. You better be careful.
Rod Allen.
I'm the best dad. I'm a passionate dad.
Listen to him
That's
tonight.
That's okay.
Right here.
Yeah, listen tonight.
104.3 FM WQAM 640 first pitch. From the LD.
I thought you wasn't going to go there.
I was throwing him a little bone. He felt a little left out here at the end.
He don't talk very much either.
From the lone what?
So I don't
the lone zone.
The lone zone. We'll see you, Rod.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go, Rod Allen from Lone Depot Park. You can hear the game tonight right here on 104.3 WQAM.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.